Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
I'm very concerned about this because I know that we obviously can't tolerate any form of corruption, and everybody needs to be held to the same standard. But what does it mean now that the so-called farm gate, and I said that earlier, I think it's a rotten name, we've got to be able to do better in terms, South Africans can do better than that, we creative people, either way, what does it mean to the future for Cyril Ramaphosa? What does it mean to the future of the ANC? And what does it mean to the RET faction if he is forced ultimately out of the position? And Adrian Basson, who's editor at News 24, wrote a very interesting piece that I wanted to chat to him about. He says Ramaphosa is likely to survive, but the ANC will not. Adrian, thanks for joining us once again. How are you?
Hello, Howard. I'm sad that I missed out on the joke, but I'll catch up with you later.
Absolutely. So this your column, I think, is a very interesting one, that Ramaphosa is likely to survive. The ANC, however, will not. Do you still think, and obviously everything changes, you know, you write an article on a Monday and by Wednesday in South Africa, everything is just a little bit different. But do you still think that there's a good chance he will survive this?
That's one of the perks of being a weekly columnist, is people forget what you wrote last week, so you can make mistakes. Look, what do I mean by survive? I mean politically. I mean on the road to December when the ANC goes to its political national conference. So the opposition in the ANC to Ramaphosa is just so poor, Howard. I mean, you have someone like Dwelly Mkhize, who is probably the only person at this stage likely to challenge Ramaphosa, who is embroiled in the digital vibe scandal, you know, where millions of rands of taxpayers' money was that was supposed to educate people about COVID-19 and vaccination were moved to private bank accounts and houses and buckies, you know. You know, that's not the type of person of character who I think can beat Ramaphosa in December. And I think, you know, Ramaphosa obviously tried to style himself as Mr. Clean, as Mr. Fix-It, and Mr. Good Governance, and he's in a pickle. But unless he is charged criminally, which opens up a whole new spectrum of things that's possible, I think he will survive the ANC's conference in December. But the argument I try to make is that we have to look further than that. I think this is just another nail in the ANC's coffin, and I think this will exacerbate the ANC being voted out of majority rule, and that, I think, is not very likely to happen in 2 years' time.
Which, in fact, we thought it wasn't. You know, the most of the predictions said they'll take a hammering in 2024, but it's going to be a couple of, it'll be the next election that they're likely to lose the majority, and it is becoming likely now that this is the case. The fact that this has now come forward, does that strengthen the RET faction, or does it really make the line so much clearer that it could even be problematic for them?
This is manna from heaven, obviously, for the RET faction. They are a bunch of crooks themselves. I mean, you have someone like Tony Ngeni, a convicted fraudster, who's apparently leading the charge on Ramaphosa in ANC. It's a bit like a comical, like a cynical comedy, you know, if you want. Going on in the ANC at the moment. I mean, there's no credit to the RET faction for this. I mean, this is Arthur Fraser. This is spy stuff. I think Fraser has been carrying these files with him for many years, and he started to drop the files, you know. And I don't think it's a carefully plotted RET strategy. I don't think, to be honest, that they are smart enough to have done this. But I think that this is certainly boost the REC's attempts to get back at Ramaphosa. But the best argument they can make, Howard, is, well, look, it's not only us that's dirty, you're also dirty. You know?
I don't know
how far you can get with that argument.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It's just so it's so transparent at the moment. Do you think that this will at least inspire, and it does seem to have, the president to act? I mean, although he should have the suspended the public protector some time ago. He's only done that right now. Now, that obviously doesn't look good because that's following charges, but we all know that she should have been suspended a while back. We all know that the Gupta should have been arrested in Dubai some time ago. Has this given him the impetus needed to act with more divisiveness?
Well, I think the chickens are coming home to roost, unfortunately, for the president, because he was supposed to have acted more decisively much earlier in his term. For example, Arthur Fraser. He kept Arthur Fraser on as head of correctional services. He moved him sideways from the State Security Agency, despite all the information that was in the public domain emanating from the Mufamadi report into the rot at the SSA under his tenure, despite Jocko's book being in the public domain for many years around the PAN project that Fraser allegedly ran from his house. So, I mean, you know, this is Ramaphosa also, you know, eating the bitter fruits of his own inability to move fast enough, unfortunately. You know, take a character like Wally Ruda that was appointed as his head of the Presidential Protection Unit. The guy was on trial for corruption while after he was head of security for the NPA and was accused of fraudulently and corruptly awarding tenders for security in the NPA. The only reason he wasn't convicted was because the main witness died. And this is the guy that that Ramaphosa allowed to be appointed as his head of security. So, you know, it's just all these bad appointments, turning a blind eye, preferring to rather keep people inside the tent than outside of the tent, that I think is coming home to biting. If I can just add one more thing, Howard, which I think is important. I think we have to just keep context on the, I hear you don't like Farmgate, but the Palapala scandal.
Right.
Because there's a lot of things we don't yet know. What we do know is that there was cash, that's not disputed, that the cash was stolen, and that the alleged perpetrators were apprehended but not imprisoned or charged before a court of law. I mean, those are the three things that seems to me not to be in dispute. And those are the three things that I think Ramaphosa has to come clean on. He cannot, I'm sure he's got lawyers at the moment telling him to shut up, but I don't think that's the right strategy. I think the country deserves better. I think we need to know where the cash came from, why didn't you open a case at the police, and when these guys were caught, why somehow they got off the hook and were allegedly paid to keep quiet. I mean, that's probably the most damning of all the allegations.
So that's what we do know, and you're absolutely right, is there's two aspects here. One is the legal side of it for him, and the other is what the country needs and what the country deserves. He has stood by his anti-corruption stance quite vehemently, and he needs to be true to that.
Yes, and I mean, it seems to me, I don't know if you remember last weekend, he was at the ANC Limpopo conference, and there he spoke about the cash. He said it was the proceeds from selling animals, wild animals. And that was the last time that he gave any detail. Since then, he's refused to give any detail. He's only said due process will follow. I mean, we pushed him very hard on Friday at the press conference. So I think he got advice after that you must not say things like that, because if you say this with the proceeds from animals, it means firstly that you knew about the cash, secondly that you now have to prove the sale of those animals. So get out your invoices, you know, open your books to SARS, open your books to the South African Reserve Bank, because now we're talking foreign exchange legislation, etc. So yeah, the man looked very defeatist and tired at the end of last week, and I think he's in a pickle. Yeah.
Is there a chance that he'll say, "Well, what do I need this all for?" and walk away?
Look, apparently there were a few times during his term so far that he wanted to do that, but ultimately, you know, I mean, he was Mr. Tumamina. He's the one who asked people like Shamila Batoy and Andre the Rater and others to come back and help us build the state and rebuild the state. So he can hardly now leave. So I don't think so. I mean, I'd be surprised if he resigned. But obviously, if there's a criminal case, and I mean, then it becomes interesting, Howard, because now you have
the step aside
rule that says if you are charged, you must step aside. So if he's charged between now and December, he cannot run for anti-president, which will really open up things in that party and even exacerbate the demise of the party even further and faster, which some people may argue is probably the right thing. So, I think he's in a tough space. I can't see him resigning before that kind of due process has followed.
Mm. Are you concerned that the RET faction will try, as they did last year, to create some chaos in the country to destabilize this the government further?
I don't see that at the moment. The RET faction, we must remember, is very unorganized. It is really not a united, organized organization. I mean, you've got characters like Carl Niaz running around, MK Wits, Ace Magashule is on his own trials, William Keyes is actually running his own campaign, but just using the RET faction to get votes because he's never been an RET man himself. Mm. So, Lindiwe Sisulu and writing strange op-eds for the independent newspaper group. So, it's not a coherent
strategy, unified body. Right.
And I think, if you read 8 Days in July, that fantastic book that my colleagues Bonita Hunter and Jeff Weeks wrote about what happened. I mean, it was a combination of a lot of things that culminated in the riot. It wasn't a very well orchestrated, planned effort, it was a bit of Zuma going to prison. It was a bit of people being fed up with poverty and unemployment. It was definitely agent provocateurs. It was a bit of intelligence. So, hopefully we won't see something like that again. But I think between now and December, Ramaphosa will be hammered by his opponents on the way to the conference on this.
Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunately all that we have time for. Adrian Basson, Editor-in-Chief at News 24. Can Ramaphosa survive the next couple of months?